Good afternoon, gentlemen, and welcome. Welcome. This is item 8 of our agenda. We're going now to move on to talk about the Hong Kong Police Force policy on crowd management for public events. Mr. Cheung Tak Kong, the Commandant, welcome. Mr. Law, welcome, and Mr. Cheung, welcome. Just a little bit of context. Given our responsibility to advise government on the management operation of the waterfront, major events are fall within our remit, and one of the things that we were particularly interested to find out was the how the police deal with the major events on the waterfront. Gentlemen, if you can, you might like to comment on the challenge of policing Tamar, particularly when for public events. We had the fireworks recently, and I think the public were allowed onto the Tamar platform for the first time. So that would be of interest to us, I think. But I think generally, if you could talk and explain to us how you address what is your policy on crowd control, and what are your principles, particularly in relation to the waterfront, because this is a new area for us. So I think, Mr. Cheung, you are going to brief us. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, first of all, I would like to thank you for your invitation to the Hong Kong Police Force today. On behalf of the force, we would like to present to you information on the crowd management. I will firstly give you some overview of the philosophy of policing on the crowd management in Hong Kong. And my colleague on my left, Mr. Law, Felix Law, he is from the Central District, Hong Kong Island. He's a deputy district commander. He has a lot of local knowledge about the area. I'm sure he's happy to share with you his thinking about the policing. On my right is Mr. Zhong, Ken Zhong. He's from the Yao Chim District. He's the deputy Yao Chim District commander. Of course, there in recent years, there have been some crowd management activities in this area. I'm sure he's happy to share with you. I suggest is that after my presentation in about 10 minutes or so, and I hand over to Felix, Mr. Law, and after our both presentations, I suggest the questions might be raised.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you.
First of all, public events, in fact, in Hong Kong is something very common. Perhaps if you come across a lot of media, you know this is something very common in Hong Kong. I would say that it happens every day. Three major areas where the crowd might gather: festive occasions, public meetings, processions, and sport events. In these days, you might discover that some activities are rather ad hoc and might not be prepared. A couple of weeks ago in Canton Road, outside one of the famous outlets, crowds gathered, hundreds of people, if not thousands, gathered. It's quite easy for people to gather. If I stand in the middle of Nathan Road, if I look up to the sky for 10 minutes, I can guarantee there will be at least 100 or 200 people around me. Some curious people might be just start to gather. So crowd gather quite easily in Hong Kong. In Hong Kong, perhaps some of you might be in Hong Kong long enough. About 19 years ago, in the 1st of January 1993, in Lan Kwai Fong, we got a tragedy. In that morning, 21 people were quashed to death by stampede in Lan Kwai Fong after celebrating the anniversary of the New Year. Another 50 people were seriously injured. And since then, the government had commissioned a study by the Justice Pokhari. He came up with some of the very valid and good suggestions that actually asked police to consider. Since then, we adopt a very cautious approach in managing crowds. Some of the recommendations are very useful to us, and we still follow some of the recommendations in our planning. Right, our policies and guidelines are very simple. We facilitate all events, all public events, as long as the request is from an organizer, from members of public. For some reason, they would like to hold some events, and we will do our best to facilitate. Public safety, public order are our main concern. In all events, we try to implement measures to achieve this. There should be a balance to be struck between the rights of the meeting or assembly and also the broader interests of the community. And the last but not the least is that safety is something is always in our mind. Not only the participants, but also the police officers and other members of public who may not be involved in that public event. We discharge our role in an impartial manner, disregarding the reasons for the people together, disregarding the background of the people. We adopt an impartial approach in our policing. We implement measures to avoid the public safety being endangered. We hold the public peace in all these events. We ensure that the traffic can be as smooth as possible without too much obstruction. Occasionally, there were conflicts between the people who are gathering and those who are not involved. We will implement measures to make sure that there shouldn't be any big problems between them. Sometimes we do receive complaints. People are not happy with people gathering, so we need to implement measures. In Hong Kong, when the people, some organizers, they would like to hold some public events in certain areas, we will seek to have the meeting with these organizers as soon as we can. We ascertain the purpose, daytime venue, very important for us, the routes and also the number they expect will be joining the event. We got a very stringent risk assessment processes in Hong Kong Police Force. Whenever we receive the information about the intended gathering, public events in any areas, we will examine the venues, whether the location is suitable for this purpose, starting finishing points, and also the mood, the intention of the people. You might be aware that if these people, like in festive occasions, if they are intoxicated by drinks, for example, perhaps you need to take more stringent measures in this. Like in Rugby 7 in Hong Kong, certain areas, people actually drink alcohol. Perhaps the measures need to be more stringent than managing a crowd or children in a festive occasion, so there must be some difference for us. Nature purposes are also our concern. On a venue, we will examine whether the venue is suitable for this purpose, whether this venue is big enough for this crowd. Don't forget that some organizers might be very new in organizing these events. They might not have that much experience. So as a police officer, I'm very happy to offer advice. We offer advice on the whether this location is suitable for this purpose, etc. Sometimes when this event is organized, that might have an impact on the usual business in Hong Kong, commercial interests or some private properties. In Hong Kong, some activities are actually taking place in the open area. That might affect some of the members of the public. That's why we need to be very cautious when we are implementing our measures. We hope to strike a balance. On one hand, people are free to express their views, but on the other hand, we need to ensure the safety and public order. Inconvenience to the public should be kept to a minimum. I would say this is almost impossible to avoid inconvenience, but to what extent we manage. We hope that we can achieve in the minimum inconvenience to the members of the public. In Hong Kong Police Force, we need to consider the adequate resources for each and every event in Hong Kong. Some events are big, some events are small. I just raise one simple example. For public meetings and public processions in Hong Kong, every year we got over 4,000 events. It's quite a lot. Most of these events actually happen over weekends, Saturday, Sunday, and public holiday. So we expect quite a lot on each and every day. So that's why our resources need to be carefully managed to achieve the purpose. For each event, we try to achieve in a situation that we got sufficient people to manage, but at the same time, we got reasonable reserve in case any problem occurs. Our main purpose is to ensure public peace, public safety, public order in this. That's why in some events, we need to have some sort of like an emergency vehicle access, EVA. We have to make sure that the vehicles who are providing service to the public, for example, sometimes fire engines, ambulance vehicles, they can have access to this area where possible. The functions of the ops wing in the large scale event. Ops wing actually represent the police headquarters operational arm. For major events, we actually have a mechanism to monitor the whole progress. Especially for the event across the region, sometimes region is actually one of the police term. When an event is across the region, means there's a very big scale event in Hong Kong. Police headquarters need to coordinate sufficient police manpower, etc. And also we have to maintain a very good communication with our stakeholder department. For example, like in a major event, we need to have a good contact with the transport department, which can inform the public about a traffic diversion, about pedestrianization, etc. So we have very close partners in our major operations. On some operations, that may affect the venue managers as well. Police seldom own the event. Usually, we assist the organizer to run the event. For example, if there's a big event in Victoria Park, just for an example, the event is actually owned by the LCSD, but the event itself is also run by an organizer. A police officer are there to give advice. Sometimes we provide the manpower to manage the event. So police will do what we can to assist the organizer. On occasions, we need to impose the conditions. Sometimes, if we consider that based on our knowledge and expertise, we can give the advice to the organizer, we make it as a condition they might need to comply with. So all these are something very important in our planning process. I finished my presentation at this point. I would like to hand over to Mr. Law, and he can carry on to talk about the policing in the Tamer Park, and after which all questions are welcome. Thank you very much.
Chairman, ladies and gents, as introduced by Mr. Zheng, I come from Central District. Central District actually, well, looks after the waterfront spanning from the new central government complex to the Sun Yat-sen Park, but excluding the Sun Yat-sen Park. I will try to focus my presentation on the crowd management along the promenade, and with special focus on the waterfront promenade and also Tamer Park. But as you are all aware, the Tamer Park has only been open to the public quite recently, right? It is also partially opened. And also as regards the waterfront promenade, it is not yet opened. And even though when it is opened later in the year, only a small part of that will be open to the public. So what I'm going to say today will be quite conceptual. Because in particular, as regarding the waterfront promenade, we have not yet seen the ground. We've only been shown some sketches or plan of the waterfront promenade, right? So if I can talk from a little bit of experience, it's from policing the recent fireworks display in the Tamer Park, okay? But my presentation will focus more on the technical side, right? Giving you as far as possible some practical examples we have experienced in the past in policing this area. I will also be repeating some of the things that has been said by Mr. Zheng. Well, in policing crowds, whether it's for a public order event or for a joyful event like a firework display, we all observe the same set of principles, right? They are all common. And our number one priority in policing crowds is safety, right? You will realize from what I'm going to say today, whatever we do, we will not deviate from this word safety. And that, as Mr. Jerk has already pointed out, it came from the tragedy in Lan Kwai Fong several years ago, right? So what we do may be seen by the public as causing them inconvenience, but while we try to reduce the inconvenience to the public and to the participants as far as possible, in many occasions, because of the safety consideration, we have no cause but to commit them to a more troublesome cause. Okay. So apart from safety, is geographical setup. Whenever we do a crowd management operation for any venue, for any event, even though we have done a similar event in that same venue for several occasions in the past, we will always conduct a walkthrough of the whole venue, right? The walkthrough is to identify risks, and then we'll conduct a risk assessment and to put in mitigating measures or other control measures to make the event a safe and orderly one for all to enjoy. Okay, so when we go about our walkthrough, we'll be taking into consideration the geographical setup, right? Whether there are any choke points in the venue, any bottleneck area where people may a particular high density of people may gather, right? As you can all recall, the Lan Kwai Fong incident is having too many people in a very tiny place, right? Particularly going through choke points, thereby causing pileup of people. Gradient of the venue is, of course, one serious concern, whether it's an incline or decline, whether it is on flat ground. And even when we're dealing with a completely piece of flat ground, there might be some holes undulating sort of grounds within the flat ground as well. Whether there are any obstacles on the ground, right? Things like manholes, right? Any works being carried out, construction work, building work, maintenance work, right? When the ground is normally okay on a normal day, but with construction work or maintenance work being carried out, it will have significant impact on the safety of the crowd gathering there. Of course, weather, which has been pointed out by members of this commission in this meeting earlier today, also have a significant sort of impact. So we'll look at the ground really very carefully, right, on each occasion, even though we've done a similar operation at the same venue for many occasions in the past. We will always conduct a walkthrough before each new event, okay? And after the walkthrough, having done a risk assessment, we will put in mitigating measures to make the ground safe, right? Say, for instance, if during our walkthrough, we identify some works being done with a in a manhole, right? Then we'll ensure that the manhole is covered before the event. Or if it cannot be covered, work is still going on, then we can we will consider surrounding the area, making it safer, or diverting the crowd away from the affected area. Okay. In any crowd management operation, we always devise a very detailed plan in advance and brief our troops carefully on the implementation. In devising our plan, we will have, again, several factors for consideration and also for implementation. One of the things that we consider and that we will also implement is the safe capacity of the venue. The safe capacity of any particular venue can vary, right? It's dependable, depending on the prevailing situation, particularly the nature of the event. Say, for instance, if a place is capacity is safe for 3,000 people, say for a candlelight vigil. For the same venue, if a rock concert is being held over there, then the safe capacity might be substantially lower, right? How safe it is depends on the nature of the event and the activity of the people gathering there and the mood, so on and so forth. The second strategy for implementation is sectorization, i.e. dividing a venue into several sectors. Right? During the Lan Kwai Fong incident, sectorization was not put into place. Right? The whole Lan Kwai Fong was just one small venue with all the people packed inside. We don't want to see that repeating again. So for the venue management, we will divide a place into several sectors, manageable sectors, right? The size again will the size of each sector again will depend on the prevailing circumstances, right? Buffer zone, we will build in buffer zone in between the sectors. The buffer zone is to prevent event in one sector from spilling over to another sector. All right. Police passage, emergency vehicle access. There will always be some police passage set alongside the venue. The purpose of the police passage is to allow police to have access to the crowd, to be able to exercise management over the crowd when it is necessary. Right? Say for instance, when people get overexcited, we will have to calm them down. Right? We can only do so when we are able to assess the crowd. Therefore, we need police passage for this purpose. One-way flow. Again, it's a recommendation from the Lankway Fong inquiry, right? We will arrange people to go in a one-way direction as far as possible so as to avoid counterflows within a crowd, particularly in a dense crowd. Tidal flow, this works in conjunction with the concept of safe capacity, right? Tidal flow, we are talking about moving crowd. We have to make a crowd move across a section of land, right? And in order to ensure that they will go through it in an orderly and safe manner, we will have to divide the crowd into several sections and then allow only one section to go through that particular section of road at one time. Access control, again, it is connected with safe capacity. For any venue, we will always identify several access points. And in all these access points, police officers will be stationed there to control the number of people entering into the venue to ensure that the venue won't be oversaturated. Communication and public announcement. In effectively managing a crowd, it is very important that police are able to communicate with the crowd there and then on the spot. Okay, as I said before, if some members of the crowd become overexcited, we will have to ask them, advise them to calm down. Right? We can only do so when we are able to talk to them, and we normally talk to them through a PA system. Spontaneous police action, quoting the same example which I have just quoted, all right, we have to cite police officers all along the crowd to allow them to be able to communicate with the crowd to take spontaneous control measures when they see the potential for trouble. This is the waterfront promenade in Central. Its future look a number of years from now. As far as the presentation today is concerned, I will only be focusing on the policing of a small part of this promenade, which will roughly be the area shown here. Mm-hmm. The area shown by my arrow on the screen will be the Tama Park, whereas this stretch of land running along the waterfront will be the promenade to be opened later in this year. Okay. I will now use the Tama Park as a practical example to show you what we did in the last fireworks display in January. This is the Tama Park. Lying to the north is the extension which will be connected to the waterfront promenade. Up to now, the waterfront promenade is not yet opened. So for the fireworks displayed in January this year, only the Tama Park was used. Right? Also adjacent to that, in that event, the Latchco forecourt was also open to the public for viewing of fireworks Okay, so I will use this as a simple example to show what we did. You see, we have divided the Tema Park into sectors, and we do so by Mills Barrier, right? For that event in January, the Tema Park was basically divided into two main areas, right? One line to the north of this blue line here, and the other section line to the south, right? And we use Mills Barriers for the purpose of sectorization, right? You can see that the Mills Barrier only extended halfway to the Tema Park, because we did not anticipate many crowd, a lot of people turning up at that event. And it turned out that our sort of estimate was accurate. In fact, during that evening, well, just about half of the park was filled up, right? All the people prefer to go to the front part, as expected, right? We also set up this passage, right? As I have explained earlier, the police passage is to allow us to be able to communicate with the crowd and to carry out spontaneous action when we see the need to do so. The police passage was, well, actually the buffer zone, right, was also used for dual purpose, buffer zone and also police passage. We realized that people don't like to see being divided into too many sectors, right? They don't like to see too many Mills Barriers, right? That's why we reduce our sort of physical constraints to the public to the minimum as far as possible. If we can use one facility for more than two purposes, we will do so, right? So you can see buffer zone and police passage are being used. Access control, this is, as I said, to control the capacity within the venue. So in each venue, we will assess suitable access points. And at these access points, we will put police officers there to control the number of people entering the venue. The choice of these access points, we also have to consider, well, when the place is filled up, is it a suitable place to divert people away, right? In managing a venue, we not only manage the venue itself, we also manage the area or the routes leading to and from the venue. And here is an example of what we did on the pedestrian footbridges leading to and from the venue. We normally put police passage there to allow us to maintain management all along the route. We talk about EVA. This is an example of where we put EVA during the last firework display. One is along the this one is along the Long Wall Road, right? And the other one is along the Timay Avenue. We often experience when a venue has come to its full capacity. That being the case, we will advise people to go away and to direct them to, or advise them to go to another location where there is still some capacity, right? And to better advise the public in this regard, we will normally set up signage at these locations, assisted by police officers advising them through PA system. This is what we did for both the Tama Park and also the Leshko Forecourt. This is an example of how we put in police passage and also buffer zone during the last firework display in Tama Park. You see the Mills Barriers we put on the concrete ground next to the lawn, right? So we can set aside the lawn for the enjoyment of the public, right? Whereas police and the buffer zone will be put on the concrete pavement. This is another photograph to show you what we saw during the firework display during the New Year. I can assure you, well, I'm sure you will already be anticipated that the Tampa Park will be a superb place for watching fireworks. Indeed it was, right? And I estimate that it will get more and more popular as the works in the waterfront and promenade becomes completed in due course. As regard the crowd management along the waterfront promenade, as I said, I can only give you some very rough conceptual idea, because so far I've only seen some rough plans of promenade. Without being able to see the ground and to conduct a walkthrough, I will not be able to provide you with detailed suggestion as to what we will do in due course. Right. This is a general sort of illustration of the waterfront promenade. Again, using the last fireworks display as an example, because at that time the promenade was not yet opened, so the only sort of viewing zone available to the public was in fact the Long Wall Road. Right? So on that occasion, we had the whole stretch of Long Wall Road closed to traffic to make it a viewing zone for the public. Right? So arrival into the viewing zone will be via the left side, via the western side. And because of the whole Long Wall Road is quite a rather long stretch of road, we have to divide it into zones. So you can see here we have divided the Long Wall Road into three zones. One, two, and three. And in between, you see the yellow part is the police passage. The police passage is set along the northern side because adjacent to the police passage, there's a set of hoarding. We anticipate that the public won't like to stand next to a hoarding, which will be blocking the view. That's why we use that part as the police passage, reserving the most ideal part as viewing zone for the public. And on the green side, the green stretch, you will see that it's an emergency vehicle access. It's set to the southern side because Long Wall Road is lying next to the Pillar A, People's Liberation Army Barracks. We will have to maintain in and out access, vehicle access for the barracks, right? And it also makes sense because it's connected to the road to the south. Okay. We can anticipate that in the future, when the promenade is opened, the inflow of crowd will more or less be as shown by the red arrows, right? Mainly from the west and also from the south. And in dispersing in the crowd, or when the crowd depart from the venue, they will also be dispersing either in a westerly direction or in a southerly direction. Well, this is one plan which I've been shown recently as to the an artist's impression of the future look of the waterfront promenade. Based on this very, very rough sketch, I would imagine that I will build in a buffer zone and also as well as a police passage. Possibly, if the low bearing allow, it will also be used as a DVA along the waterfront, right? Along the very part connecting directly to the waterfront. The reason of setting up a buffer zone immediately at the waterfront is to avoid people from falling into the sea, right? We did experience that, so we will set aside that as a buffer zone. Again, at various access points, we will put people there, put police officers there. There will be suitable signage to advise the public, particularly when it's full. That sort of roughly ends my presentation. And both Mr. Chen and I would now welcome any questions from
the
Commission.
Thank you, Mr. Chen and Mr. Law. Hong Kong has the reputation of being one of the safest cities in the world, and I think this obviously clearly applies to the whole issue of crowd control as well. You're, I mean, very robust and very thorough the way you look at the challenges and address the challenges. I'm sure members have comments and suggestions. Could I just make a couple of points? One, I live in a lesson, live in a world of lessons learnt, if you understand me. And one of the things that we're very keen to do, if you like, is if, not if mistakes have been made, but if improvements can be made, learning from what experience, what are those improvements? We spent quite a lot of time looking at Tamar and the design of Tamar, and we questioned CEDD quite closely as to whether they had engaged with you and whether there were potentially issues relating to safety. So it'd be very interesting just to have your feedback on if there are things that we could improve at Tamar, because we can lend, we as a commission will be happy to lend support if you think there are things that could be done better. This isn't telling tales, this is trying to enhance the enjoyment of the waterfront. And then the second thing, and this has been raised already, but I'll raise it now, and you might want to answer it in questions. Mills barriers, this whole issue of mills barriers, fully appreciate that they're necessary for the temporary control of crowd, but they tend to be left on site, if you like, for rather longer than one might like. A, they're unsightly. B, they, particularly when we're thinking about the waterfront, they could impinge on the enjoyment of the waterfront. Do you have a regular program for tidy up, collection, moving them off-site? I mean, I think we'd like to have a bit of reassurance on that point as well. So those are my two points. But what I suggest is, shall we collect the questions and then you can answer them all at once? So if people have points or questions they want to make, let's have those and then you can answer them.
Yeah, sure. I prefer what you suggested. You have the, all the questions first and then we can answer.
Good, good. Members, any points? Mm-hmm. Suki?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I understand the topic is an overview of the Hong Kong Police Force policy on crowd management. I think my understanding is since the Harbourfront Commission is going to promote a lot of waterfront activities, so there will be more people, not just in the central area, it could be all along the waterfront in Hong Kong and Kowloon. The event will be could be big and small, it could be single location, unlike the fireworks which stretch along the waterfront. And then there will be more people, that means there will be more conflict, but obviously people will be expecting a more safe place to participate in the waterfront area. Mr. Chiang mentioned about the Rugby 7 sort of last year, and I also understand that there was a waterfront disaster in Auckland last year. The organizer was anticipating about 50 to 80,000 participants, but the turn-up was about 200,000. That was a single location event, so it was a disaster sort of recognized by the local government. Obviously, unlike the fireworks in Hong Kong, I mean, there are ways and locations and space you can divert the crowd away from the targeted area. But what if there will be single location events? Are there any evacuation plans or contingency plans whether the police force can ensure this sort of mishappen will happen in the future in Hong Kong? And the other point is, I tried to pinpoint the points. No, I'll leave it to the Hong Kong police to answer whether there are such kind of contingency plans in case to avoid the situation in the overseas. Thank you, okay. Mr. Chairman.
Come back if you think of your second point. No problem. Winston, please.
May I start by offering the appreciation of my Harbour Society for your cooperation over the past years. We have organized dozens of public events, and they all went very smoothly. I think this is also due to Hong Kong's culture. I've participated in these big events, and surprisingly, people are so well-behaved, unlike other countries. In fact, they were better behaved than some members of LegCo in LegCo meetings. Anyway, the question I'd like to ask is this. I've been asked to ask this particular question by Mr. Paul Zimmerman, namely, do you think you could assist in the design of the harbour front so that there will be storage space for the barriers mentioned just now by the chairman, so that they could be removed as soon as possible? This will, of course, include traffic barriers. I think you call them ice cream cones and, you know, all kinds of equipments that you need. I mean, we have the experience that you have quite a lot of equipment for crowd control. So a big event along the harbour front would require a lot of these equipment, and it would be convenient to have a storage space right there. We're hoping to have many, many more harbour front events in the future, and therefore we need your full cooperation. Thank you.
Carlos?
Yes, just a question about the proactive management. One encouraging sign is that I'm happy to see that you, the police force, has now adopted a more proactive way of crowd management, discussed with the organizer in advance of the event. But my question is that along our harbour front, there's a lot of construction work underway, and also a lot of project has been under design too. And we know that there's a place for crowd together to celebrate or to gather together. So I heard LCSD has just mentioned in their presentation that increasingly they would involve other departments in the design of the design and construction of their projects. So I don't know, it may be good from a proactive management point of view if in the design stage they already take into consideration of the comments or suggestions from the police force about crowd management, how to facilitate you to operate, to maintain law and order in case of any this kind of big event. I think that may be a way to do it. I don't know whether it's now become a practice for you to give your input to all these public projects along the waterfront during the design and construction stage, or you have not seldom be consulted. I think that, okay. That I think we look for quicker involvement, actually.
Thank you. Becky?
Thank you. Thank you, Chair. Very useful and informative. I just wonder, how do you define a crowd? That is, what threshold you use to say you and to trigger off your crowd management strategies and all these things that you use? That would be my first question. And the second question is related, is how do you estimate the size of the crowd for an event? Like, especially on the waterfront, do you do this internally within the police, or do you rely on the organizers in giving you such estimation? Because the reasons that I ask these questions is that for safe public enjoyment of the waterfront, it seems that if it is safe and under general circumstances, that people would like to enjoy without excessive presence of the police and the new barriers, etc. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other points people would like to make? Mr. Cheung, would you like to respond? Thank you.
There are a few questions. In fact, the question is about the lessons learned in Tamer Park. Maybe this part I'll let Felix, Mr. Law, to answer first, and I can handle the rest. Okay? Yeah, Mr. Law.
Sorry. The question on whether we see any improvement in Tamer Park, right? We were sort of partially involved in the sort of planning stage. We were consulted to some extent, right? And we also requested for the installation of floodlights, PA system, CCTV system, right? we are aware that these are not common features in normal leisure ground, right? And that's why when we were consulted, we suggested that these items be built into the Tema Park as well as the future waterfront promenade. I am glad that most of these features has been incorporated into the Tema Park project. That is, on one hand, making our job much easier, and secondly, making the place safer, and secondly, it is much more sightly. You won't see any sort of ad hoc equipment being put good here and there, right? So I would say this is certainly improvement in the Tema Park, and we would certainly welcome similar features to be put into the future waterfront promenade as well. Talking about Mills Barrier, you've quite rightly pointed out Mills Barriers can be found in many occasions during these events, and they firstly can be obstructive, and secondly, they're not good looking at all, right? We try to reduce the number of wheels barriers as far as possible. That's why, as I have shown you during the presentation, for the Tema Park, during the fireworks display, we only set up wheels barriers to cover half of the park, because we anticipate there won't be too many people turning up the park, right? And secondly, is a quite a laboring job to move these wheels barriers to different locations. So we try to reduce the number of wheels barriers to use on each occasion as far as possible.
Mr. Law, just one question specifically on Tamar. When we walked around, we noticed the uneven nature of the surface, that the paths have been sunk slightly below the level of the adjoining landscape area. And we just thought the ability for people to trip, break ankles, etc. You know, if everything had been done at one level, then potentially, particularly with a large crowd, it would potentially have been safer. I mean, are those sort of things that you might pick up when you're looking at reviewing designs?
Now, firstly, we are not really responsible for the design of the venue itself, right? We're only consulted, and when they ask for our views, we welcome the initiative to do so, and we will always offer our suggestions and observations as far as we can. As I have already mentioned in my presentation earlier on, even on a flat piece of ground, we will often encounter when the ground is not too even, right? That's why we always conduct a walkthrough before each event. And when we see any problem of this nature, we will try to either, as I said, surround the place, right, or to divert the crowd away from that area, right? Or say, for instance, in the Tema Park situation, we will have to divide the place, the viewing zones, into different sectors, right? Control the number of people entering into each sector so that, well, they won't be, you know, sort of congested together. If one person, unfortunately, they fall to the ground, right? It would just be him or her falling to the ground, not the other people. So we will control the capacity. We will divert the crowd away from the danger or risky areas. We will implement measures like this.
Okay. Thank you. Mr. Cheung?
Yeah, thank you. I think Mr. Law actually handled the first and second question.
Yes. So
for the Muse Barrier, maybe can add a bit. No matter how hard I'm trying to find a better looking Muse Barrier, they still call Muse Barrier, I'm afraid. I've seen some orange color type Muse Barrier in more like a plastic form, which was used in the States recently. I brought back some examples I'm still studying. But don't expect there will be a major change in what we have been using. The question is whether we actually place the Mills barriers timely. This is a question, it's a very interesting question. Depending on the nature of the operations, I raise one example, like a fireworks operations. They all know that they will kick off at 8 o'clock in the evening. a quarter to eight, 15 minutes or 20 minutes earlier, they're still having the hamburger in McDonald's nearby. They still haven't enjoyed their meal in the nearby restaurants. When they watch the clock, about 10 minutes to go, they all rush to the scene where they consider this is the vantage point. That's why we need to place our meals barrier actually before the arrival, because they go to the scene all in a sudden. Okay. So, but one thing we have to bear in mind is that after the operations, we have to arrange it to be taken back as soon as we can. So this is actually our job. We don't place our equipment at the public locations for a long time, which is more than necessary. The first question is about, from the one member raised about the overseas experience of tragedy. Suddenly, a lot of people turn up beyond the expectations and tragedy occurred. The question is that whether we have an evacuation plan, contingency plan. This is the question number three. I can say that in all our risk management processes, evacuation is something is always in our mind. Whether the area is suitable for this size of people is something very important. For example, in Hong Kong Stadium, the maximum capacity is about 40,000 people. It's about this number. So we work with the organizers to make sure that this area is not exceeding its capacity. It's always our point. We also have to make sure that all the exits, if a problem occurs, they have ways to leave the area. So we work closely with the organizers, work closely with the fire service department to ensure that the escape routes are all open and usable. This is our job. So contingency plan is one of the major items in our agenda, in our planning of the crowd. Question number four is about designing whether police can give opinion. That is very similar to question number five about whether police can be consulted on the design in the crowd management measures from the law and order point of view. To be honest, we are very happy to take all the invitation to be in the process. We are very happy to do it. In fact, we have been doing it for a long time. At the headquarters level, at the police headquarters level, the police headquarters have a department to receive the requests. If we have been asked, if we are asked to comment on the design from the law and order perspective, we are very happy to do it. We have been doing it for some time. At the local level, the district commander in the police districts is in charge of the district. At the district council, again, some government department, when they present their plan, I'm sure the district commander is very happy to give his views at the local level. So that's something we actually will welcome. We hope that this cooperation can be continued in the future. Every time we receive the request, we will, of course, happy to study it and give our opinion. So we welcome. If it comes to us, we're happy to contribute our views. So we consider this is the police opinion. Hopefully, with our little expertise, we can add value to the whole process. So when it comes, we are more than happy to study it and give our opinion. Question number six about the definition of crowd and the estimation method. In fact, there is no hard and fast rule in the definition of crowd. The crowd is just people. When they gather, when we consider that we need to manage it, we need to manage it. How big the crowd is actually depends on the people turning up. If we are managing about 100 people in a festive event, shouldn't be too difficult. If you talk about managing thousands of people, like in a marathon a couple of weeks ago, perhaps the scale of police resources could vary. So there is no hard and fast definition on this one. Calculation method. We do have our mechanism in estimating the crowd. Seldom do we do head counting because of the manpower resources. Most of the time we rely on our estimation mechanism. I'll raise one example. Like in the fireworks display in a little area, sometimes we are actually having some measurements beforehand. For example, if 100 square meters can hold, for example, 300 people. Here's an example. During the operation, if you estimate we're about 70% or 80% full, then you will expect about 240 people in 1 square meters. 100 square meters. So actually, depending on the density, based on the estimation, I would say that we normally deploy the officers at the high point, what we call the observation tower, observation point, where they can assess the density of crowd. If we consider 70% of crowd is more or less reaching its limit, then we might need to implement measures to stop people from entering the area. So all depends on the judgment call at the scene. Okay, so the mood of the people, the purpose they are there, the actual attitude of the people, something we need to consider. Mm-hmm. Weather conditions, we need to consider. The ground, if it is a gradient, we can see some slopes there, perhaps we cannot allow over 80%. So all depending on the actual situation. So the estimation of crowds actually is sort of a mechanism we normally deploy in a public events. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you very much. Thank you. PY, did I see your hand? Thank you.
Oh, yes. Thank you, Chairman. About the central waterfront, I gather that there is a stretch which the People's Liberation Army has a claim to the waterfront, the berth. Whilst I have no idea what they intend to do, will there be some parades or ceremony on which day or whatever? Then if it so happens that this event or thing attracts a big crowd, or if it so happens that a certain area has to be shielded off, there I suppose there are facilities there to shield off a certain area on a certain during a certain period. So if there are already a big crowd and some events ongoing, okay, on that occasion, would the police or the PLA be responsible for managing the crowd? Don't tell me if it involves a national secret. I did not attend this meeting.
I think Winnie on my left will attempt to answer.
Regarding the events in the PLA site, both the Security Bureau and Development Bureau is coordinating the management of that site. We are working out the management and the maintenance matrix for that particular site. So police have been involved in that working group. So when the site is ready for opening, we will have all these measures in place.
Please, yes. Winston, sorry.
Thank you, Chair. Could I make a suggestion that we adopt as a standard practice for all harbourfront projects that the police be consulted regarding public safety? Obviously, they will not dare to interfere unless they are consulted. I think it would be good practice that they should be. And yes, at the design stage, right at the beginning.
Yeah.
Take your point regarding the TAMA public park, the sunken pathway could easily break people's ankles. Mm-hmm. And I think if the police were involved at that stage, maybe the pathway would not be done in that manner. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Now, you anticipated what I was going to suggest, that in fact schemes come to the police at the design stage, all harbour schemes. Yeah, yeah. And I think we should put that forward as a recommendation to government. Any other points people would like to make? Mr. Cheung, Mr. Law, anything you'd like to add? It's been very useful and very reassuring. Maybe we can engage again in perhaps a year's time, once you've taken charge, once we've had some other events on the promenade as well, and we can look at that and see what we've learned from that one too. Anything you'd like to add?
Just want to say thank you very much for giving us this opportunity. Hong Kong Police Force has been dedicated to providing a service to all members in the community. We will assist all organizers in all public events, and we will offer our expertise and do the best we can. Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you.